At this time, I'd like to call the Illinois State Tollway Highway Authority Audit Committee meeting to order for April 27, 2015. Roll call.
Committee Chair Gonzalez.
Here.
Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Weisner. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Don't believe I've gotten any public comments, and I don't see anybody from the public here, so I'm going to go on to item number four. We've gotten the minutes for the audit committee that was held on December 10, 2014. If there's any questions or discussion on it at this time, I'd like to get a motion to approve those minutes.
I so move.
And I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. Number two, and there's no additional items, I believe. So that'll take us to item number five, with the internal audit activity update that will be presented by Sandra.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
So this morning, I am going to present information about internal audit activity for 2014. If you take a look at the agenda, we're going to go over some required communication from internal audit as it relates to audit's purpose, authority, and responsibility. We will also review requirements as set by FISA, the Fiscal Control Internal Auditing Act. We'll discuss cycle audits performed in 2014 as well as what we will be doing in 2015. We'll look at our 2014 internal audit activity. We'll talk a little about our construction audit program for this upcoming construction season. We'll have a brief update on the external audit that's currently underway. We'll also, the last two bullets are really reviewing some current initiatives within the internal audit department in regard to our audit process. We'll take a look at the internal audit tools we are utilizing on some of our audits, as well as an internal audit software, RFP. And then lastly, we will go over the departmental resources. So in internal audit, as you know, we evaluate internal controls as well as assess risk, which is one of our primary responsibilities. A control is any action, you know, taken by management, board, or other parties to manage risk and increase the likelihood that that established objectives and goals are achieved. Our work during 2014 continued to focus on the integrity of the tollway's financial reporting, the independence and effectiveness of the external and internal audit activities, the tollway's risk management processes, and assessing the tollway's system of internal controls. IA's purpose, internal audit's purpose, authority, and responsibility, as I indicated, there's some required communication that I, you know, need to set for today's meeting, and that is that we perform our engagements proficiently and with due professional care pursuant to applicable standards. We examine and evaluate the tollway's policies and procedures. We are very interested in safeguarding and ensuring that controls are in place to safeguard tollway assets, and we ensure that economical and efficient use of resources are being followed within the tollway. The chief internal auditor and internal audit staff should also be free of all operational duties. We have full and free access to the audit committee. We have unrestricted access to the tollway's records, documents, property, and personnel. And we have the authority to discuss initiatives, policies, and procedures regarding risk assessment. And these are activities that we participate in annually with various departments, and also provide consultative services on any new policies and procedures or any compliance matters that a particular department may have questions on. With FISA, there are various requirements as it relates to our activity during the year. We have the two-year audit plan, which identifies the audit scheduled for the fiscal year, which we approved in December of 2014. This approval is given by the executive director as well as the audit committee. Every 5 years, we complete a quality assurance review, which must be accepted by SIAB, and our most recent one was conducted in November. And we frequently complete an internal quality assurance review, which is something that we added to our charter this past December as well to enhance some of the internal assurance reviews that we currently conduct. as well as continuing professional education. There are a number of hours that our department is required to obtain throughout the year, and we actively participate in training.
Cassandra, you said you did it in your 5-year quality assurance review. Was that also accepted? I don't know.
Yes, it was accepted by SIAP, yes, and provided to us in a formal report in November of 2014.
I wasn't sure when you finished it and when they accepted. Okay, thank you.
Yep. And then our next one won't be due, of course, until another 5 years. FISHA also requires that we participate in system pre-implementation reviews. And just to give a highlight of some of the pre-implementation reviews that we have participated in 2014, that would have included the ERP. And currently, we are working with business systems and working along with the back office implementation with Accenture. Then last bullet here is the certification letter, which is due May 1st of each year, and that is currently in process to be presented to the executive director. And that certification letter basically reviews the various internal controls across various departments and has those departments certify that they have a set of internal controls in place. And then during that process, we also do any follow-up reviews as well. And then lastly, there are a number of cycle audits, which are audits of major systems of internal accounting and administrative control. And then those audits are done every 2 years, but there's a cycle of 11, and I'll be discussing those as well on the upcoming slides. And the key internal control activities reviewed during those cycle audits are separation of duties. We look at any documentation concerns or how well activity is being supported by that documentation. We look at authorization and approvals. We look at security of assets, as well as we look at reconciliations and reviews around any financial reporting. This slide here is an overview of the various cycle audits that we're required to do. There are 11 of them. You will see a list of those audits that were completed in 2014, and then those that are upcoming in 2015. In 2014, there are, of course, 6 cycle audits that were completed. This next slide here goes over the findings that were associated with the set of cycle audits that were performed in 2014. We have one finding in the property, equipment, and inventory cycle audit, where internal control deficiencies were identified around timely returning equipment parts for credit with a vendor. The user department accepted internal audit's recommendations and enhanced controls in this area and applied the needed resources to address the issue. Our follow-up activities in 2015 further confirmed that this activity with this financial management, this management action plan continued to be followed, and they are properly addressing the issue. The next finding was in our gap process audit. And this gap audit is not a cycle, but it's a required audit by the Financial Reporting Standards Board Act, which was instituted in 2013, which required all agencies to perform a gap audit. So annually, we perform this review of the agency's financial package. And this review is performed to assess the process to ensure that accurate year-end reporting is followed, and that we assess as well the process to obtain the information that's reported in our financials. The gap process audit finding that you see highlighted, the one finding here, highlights that the TOA's financial reporting system relies on standalone systems. And to further strengthen the control in this area, the TOA should pursue an ERP, which we know the TOA is currently in the process of doing. I will highlight that during the year, or the latter part of 2014, the finance department obtained Microsoft Dynamics that would allow for a more automated an automated reporting of financial information. Yes.
So, may I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Yeah. So out of what are essentially 14 audits between 7 and 12 and 7 and 14, there are only 2 findings. Would that be about what you would expect?
Yes, I mean, actually, for the objectives that were set under the audits that you see here, we did not see any material deficiencies in the internal control areas in these other than what you see identified.
Okay. And then my second question is, there was an external audit between 12 and 14. Were there any of these that were audited, and were there any findings in any of these? Do you remember? I should remember. I didn't.
Yes, in the, for the findings that's highlighted for the gap process audit,
right.
Yes, where they identified the needs for enhancements in the financial systems. And they did not identify a similar finding as what we identified for the property equipment and inventory.
And did they have anything after 12? I mean, since we have nothing in 12.
They did not have anything in grants administration, but of course the external audit does not review that area because we don't have grants over a million. Revenues and receivables, there were no findings in the prior audits around this period that would have dealt with revenues and receivables either. So from looking at the list, no.
Okay, thank you.
And in the property and equipment, it's more, it's procedures, it's the procedures that we were following that need to be tightened up, but it didn't result in any type of financial losses, correct?
No, it did not.
Okay.
No. In 2014, we also had audit activity in the area. Of course, the certification letter, which I mentioned, is required. We performed some risk-based reviews on the external audit coordination. We had an Oasis Fuel audit, and we also had various contract audits, and then we also do the PCI audit coordination. We did identify that in our review of the Rutan Compliance Program, it did result in an enhancement to the policy and procedures around the organizations of the files. And this finding here was really to promote better record keeping to ensure compliance with rules and regulations. So while we did not find any issues within the compliance program other than just the organization and the documentation around the files, but there weren't any compliance issues outside of that. We also look at the vehicle recovery program, which led to enhancements to the upcoming vehicle recovery program. And our audit issues identified, provided the user department with some administrative recommendations and enhancements in the invoice review to really address the timeliness of their invoice review. And then also the documentation of any issues or resolutions that, or any issues that needed to be resolved within the program. We wanted to make sure that they were better at documenting what those issues were.
So the vehicle recovery is basically the towing that happens or on our system, right?
Yes, that is correct.
So it was a matter of making sure the invoices were submitted timely, but also
reviewed timely internally by staff.
Yeah.
Right.
Just so we remember what vehicle recovery.
Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't. And then, and as I mentioned, our enhancements that were identified through that audit led to a revised vehicle recovery program that's in development or in draft form currently with Roadway. And then lastly, as I mentioned, we did the PCI audit coordination, and this year we are assessing at against some increased standards, which are referred to as 3.0. And we were very involved with the outside firm that assists us with that assessment. This next couple of slides will talk about our internal audit activity that we expect in 2015 related to our construction program. We will have vendor audits where we will look at the DBE program requirements as well as compliance against the contract terms of various vendors. We'll also review cost recovery opportunities to make sure that if any are identified in the audit, that they are being pursued with the contractor. We'll look at, we'll perform process audits, which will be designed to evaluate the efficiency and effectiveness of the bid and evaluation process with established policy and procedures. And lastly, we will be conducting on-site visits to various construction sites throughout the construction season.
So can you explain why an audit would be beneficial on the cost recovery opportunities?
So if in the process of performing a compliance audit,
And if we identify that there were cost recovery opportunities, we would want to make sure that, or cost savings, we would want to make sure that the department, that engineering is actually actively following up to obtain, you know, the savings associated with whatever finding we identify.
What would be an example?
Let's say that there were, unallowable costs that were submitted, and we would go back to the vendor and, you know, tell them that this wasn't allowed, and they would need to provide us with, some sort of, remedy associated with that. That could be one example. It would depend on what the contract term, would identify that was violated.
So that how would you go about identifying those opportunities?
Really going right from the contract. The contract would really strictly identify what was expected, and then we would take that against, the activity that we see in the documentation.
And this would be on a random spot check
basis?
Yes,
it would be.
Has this ever been done before?
Yes.
And what happens?
In some cases, there were opportunities where we could go back and collect, and then in some cases, we found that there were no compliance issues. But in the past, we've had examples.
And based on the past, are there patterns that can be identified?
At the time, there were no patterns identified.
But certainly, we could if we
saw
either high risk type of activity or, a vendor that kept reappearing as high risk, we could decide to focus on any
right.
of that, correct?
Right. And one of my future slides, you'll see that we are going to start to use a data analytical tool, which will allow us to, analyze a large population of data. And so with doing that, we may be able to identify trends associated with, contractor spending or invoicing. But that's something that we are looking into currently with this new tool that we have.
And in the course of doing this, would you, for example, be able to identify if in the past there had been a cost recovery opportunity which the department hadn't taken advantage of, how they had corrected that in the light of the work that you had pointed out to them was problematic?
Yeah, so as we were getting to plan our construction program, we typically would go back and review any prior issues over the last 5 to 7 years, and we will use that in our planning process to highlight if there are any trends or any specific areas that we should look at within this current construction program activity.
So it's both monitoring the contractors as well as how the department actually manages the reimbursements for the...
Absolutely. It looks at both ends.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this next slide refers to a data analytical tool that I previously mentioned. And what it'll allow us to do is to extract and analyze data independent of relying on the auditee to provide us with that information. It'll again allow us to summarize large populations of data and then allow us to even do 100% testing in some areas. It'll increase the probability of detecting errors and omissions. It'll increase our probability of detecting fraud, and it'll look for any anomalies or policy violations. It will look for trends, unusual activity. So this tool will really be key for us this year. Something that we acquired the end of 2014, and we performed some training on it, and now we're going to implement this in our upcoming review.
Can you? I'm sorry to keep asking you, but can you just provide an example of what type of data? What do you mean when you say that it can, go through all of this data and look for these anomalies?
So, for instance, the first audit that we're going to apply this will be our expenditure cycle audit. We'll take a large, population of the expenditures. We'll look for duplicate payments. We'll look for names, look for any deliveries maybe to P.O. box or to addresses outside of our master vendor database. So we'll look for some anomalies of that type to identify some issues that we should probably, or risk factors that we should probably look into further.
The main purpose, the objective is to, how do you strengthen your internal controls to minimize the risk of an error or omission or detecting fraud. the program itself, its job is not to go find all the,
it's the data
overpayments, but it's to see if it's happening a lot, then you know there's a problem with duplicate invoices, and then how do you then create a program internally and give it to management on a checklist to start looking for these things, because it's obviously something that's coming up more regularly. Mm-hmm. So I believe the programs and the audit, the internal audit itself is how do you detect where we may be weak, and then what do we do to change the way we approve stuff, or who signs off on it, so we can lessen, you know, the issue. Mm-hmm. It's not to go out there and actually go out and find all the duplicate overpayments. And
no, it'll just highlight where we have to control weaknesses that within a process. So in this case, it would be the expenditure process, and we look to see where in the expenditure, the approval, and the submission of invoices, and even it'll check, you know, there's even a vendor check in some cases to see if there are any trends with certain vendors with, you know, not following some of our required, you know, policy, you know, rules or submission requirements.
And what are you looking for when you, I'm sorry, one last question. On the site visits, the observations?
Mm-hmm. We're looking at safety, we're looking at scheduling issues, we're looking at, you know, documentation on our end just to make sure that in the daily diary that we have our CMs properly overseeing the activity in the field. So it'll be a number of different, you know, checks. We'll make sure that in some cases if we spot individuals out there working, when we see the certified payroll, we want to make sure that, you know, we see that activity being properly represented within that certified payroll documentation that we get as well.
Thank you. So you and engineering sort of put together the list in advance of going out?
We will coordinate with engineering once we independently select what projects we're going to go out and visit, and then we will, you know, share that coordination with engineering. But by, you know, it's being independent resource, we don't want to have anyone dictate exactly where we go, but we will let them know so that we can safely be out in the field.
And is that again random?
Yes, I guess it is. It is random.
Okay, thank you.
And I'll qualify that to say random, meaning if there are, again, are any trends associated with any, you know, particular, you know, contract or vendor, or even past, you know, histories with audit-related activity that we've had, that'll all be considered in the population that's identified to review. And again, just going back to the software, some of the other benefits would be it'll help us identify where we may need, you know, separation of duties. There may be some IT related controls that need to be enhanced around passwords. We'll look at the account reconciliation process here to see if there's anything that may need to be improved in that area. And just properly see, you know, how best we can improve the internal controls of whatever specific area that we are, you know, auditing at that time. So we're really excited about having the tool. It's something that we, as a team, we've, you know, taken, you know, we're continuing to take training on it, and like I said, we plan to implement it within the next few weeks. This slide here talks about the internal audit software, which I mentioned in a previous presentation, and we've made some advancements to actually bringing that to fruition, in that the bids were recently due on the 24th of April, so last week. So we're looking forward to moving this software forward. But I just wanted to spend some time going over a few slides just to talk about the benefits of the software. It'll help in various phases of our audit process, one being planning. It'll help with our risk assessment process, which we perform annually, that leads into our audit plan for the year. It'll be very helpful as we look at the budgets around our audits. So we'll save time on a lot of our administrative tasks, as well as we'll begin to see some improvements in the overall department efficiency. From a project management standpoint, again, it helps with timekeeping, staffing, scheduling, and just overall audit history. So we will be able to really go back and, you know, if there's a trend that we're looking for, if there's certain information we want to see, if we've audited a particular vendor or a particular process, we'll be able to easily identify where that has occurred in our over the years. It standardizes the audit approach among all the auditors, and it really simplifies the process for following up on audits findings that we have previously issued. Okay. Field work. It'll also allow us to standardize the work papers for audits. It'll integrate with Word and Excel. And then the audit report generation will be more timely. Again, providing the opportunity to track findings as well as recommendations.
So this is a little bit like an ERP system for internal
audit. For internal audit, exactly. And
with all that free time, you're going to start doing more audits?
Yes, that's what it will mean. So, as I mentioned, the addendum is published. The bids were due last Friday, and we look forward to bringing this to the committee and to the board for approval in the next upcoming month.
Is there a big field of companies and organizations or products?
There are a handful. Yes.
There are, so mm-hmm. It really can be competitive.
Do we know how many bids we received?
I don't know. This morning I reached out to the buyer and I didn't get a chance to follow up with her, but there are some players in the field, and it's, you know, most internal audit departments would have an internal audit software program like this, so we're really excited to be able to bring it on board. So now moving to our external audit, and our external auditors are on site performing field work. They're actually wrapping up. They probably will be on site for probably another week or about 2 weeks. And again, the review includes the financial statement, the compliance audit, and the IT information systems audit. Internal audit, you know, is the lead department coordinating the external audit with finance and with the information with the IT department. Right now, the external audit report is tentatively scheduled for release before July 31st, 2015. It's moving along at a great pace, and I'm sure to expect future communications within the next upcoming months on the external audit. And then lastly, we will talk about our internal audit resources. We have one vacant position, which is the construction audit manager. And we are actively, you know, hoping to fill that soon. And that would be it. Any questions?
I do like the idea that of the purchase of the audit software. You know, our firm, obviously, we're not internal auditors, we're external auditors, so we do use an external audit software package. And one of the nice things about it is it constantly keeps you updated with the latest pronouncements, and on our side, like the GASBs, it creates those worksheets for us, and because things are always changing, so you don't want to wait till 5 years when you have your review again that there was a pronouncement 3 years ago. And what's so nice about these software is they do keep you updated on the latest things that you need to be testing for internal controls if something has changed. And I'm assuming that the internal audit software has to be about the same as the external, that it does keep you up with those pronouncements.
Yes, it will. And then in addition to that, it'll allow us to have more fluid conversations with the user department in regard to, you know, policy updates, procedural updates, and then also follow up on any issues that we've identified. So it's a centralized tool that will provide some efficiencies really on both ends, from the user department down to, you know, our communicating to them as well.
And with the vacancy in the construction, we're just still using external contractors?
Right. In 2014, we did have an outside partner that worked with the internal audit department in this area. This year, you know, the desire was to have had a full-time resource on board, but we will, we're looking at, you know, again, partnering with a third party to assist with the construction program audit that I talked about.
Okay.
in the presentation.
Is it something, Cassandra, given the magnitude of our construction program, that obviously we want to fill this vacancy, but is it something that you think on an ongoing basis we should have an outside resource? I mean, one person, considering the volume of activity, you know, maybe a contractual resource to even supplement is appropriate.
That would be appropriate because you're right, we do have a large construction program. Because right now the way we're planning to structure it without that, you know, outside resource would be to utilize the current, you know, internal auditors that we have. But of course that means that then there will be less operational reviews that they'll be doing if we are moving over to the construction side.
So maybe what we should do is we fill that vacancy, if it sounds right to the committee, we should put together another solicitation to refresh the external resource with the right controls in it. Obviously, we went through a lot of fits and starts trying to find an entity that didn't have any conflicts. I mean, that is one of the challenges, is the groups out there that can do this that actually understand roadway construction often have worked on some part of our program.
Right. I mean, and while my team, we're, you know, actively, we actually have upcoming construction audit training during the month of May, but truly a third party where this is an engineer or, you know, someone that is very well versed in the construction roadway field would be the best resource to have ongoing. So,
although I assume these, at least the three internal auditors, will in part be working with the construction auditor?
Yes, that's the way we have it structured currently.
And then these people will benefit and gain expertise and become our own sort of in-house educated workforce. The danger is, of course, as is always in the case with the less senior people, is they get hired away by somebody else. So in a field that's this specialized, I guess.
Yeah, and that's also what we did last year with our outside partner. We did, our internal audit team, you know, partnered with them so that we did have that transfer knowledge. So that if that partner, as that third partner stepped away, we could still continue on with some level of expertise in the field. So, but it would be beneficial, you know, to probably have a permanent outside, you know, third party to assist us going forward. And that way we can assure proper coverage of the entire internal audit plan. Because right now it would just mean we'd have less hours for some of the, you know, other risk-based reviews that we would do.
And that person, I presume, couldn't both be our outside resource and also start working on any of our projects. So,
no, that outside resource, it could be a co-source arrangement where they could also work on some of our.
Well, I meant to Christy's point that you don't want a conflict of interest of a company that's already.
Oh, for someone that's already here. Right?
Yes, true. So we got to find somebody who's willing to do that and to stay on.
It might be something that's, you know, if it's of some duration where there can be an expectation of consistent work over several years' time, maybe, right? Mm-hmm. Might make sense. It just seems that there's so much going on to take resources away from some of the, you know, management and other operational issues that our audit team is working on and tasking with construction, which we spend a lot of money there, so you know, clearly we have to pay a lot of attention to it. Just seems like a lot for one group of people. So
that is something that we can continue to work on and, you know, present some options.
Yeah, and maybe we'll take a look and, you know, at some point put out a solicitation. Obviously, maybe not. We'll have some, I know, contractual resources this year, but thinking kind of next year and beyond the magnitude of the program.
Yeah.
And just from my knowledge, when you do the cycle audits, again, it's, you know, 6 and 5 every 2 years, you're going back and forth. But when the external audit gets done, and say there is a finding, that is not really something that you would be looking at in terms of your schedule because of a cycle audit. Say like it was in construction. I know that this year it's 2015, but say that there was an internal audit, an external audit, there was a finding in internal controls in construction, but in your cycle audit it wasn't due till 2016. Are you able to go back and forth and say, because of the external audit finding, we're going to do a construction work, you know, audit, internal construction on that program just because of what came out of the external audit?
So, yes. So what we would do, one of the benefits of working so closely with the external audit is we do have an opportunity to kind of see where some risk or exposure areas are, and we have time to plan those in the audits within that year. So, for instance, our expenditure audit, cycle audit, is something that we are about to perform. So any expenditure-related control deficiencies that we may see from the external audit, if that is to be the case, we would roll that up into the cycle audit for this year. And even, let's say, we don't have a audit planned that's within the area of a potential exposure item in the external audit, we have hours in our plan where we can actually still perform an audit, you know, in that area. Or
so it's not necessarily a cycle audit that you're required to, but just these flexible audits that are that are special, and you can decide this is an area of exposure because of the external audit and do it earlier.
Yes, we can.
Okay.
So we are not. If there's an exposure that's identified in the external audit, we are going to be on that issue, you know, right away. So
that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions?
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Going on to item number six, there's no unfinished business, no new business, no executive session, so at this time I'd like for motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.